Our next speaker is Kelsey Hogenauer from the University of Arkansas, and cover crops influence biomass accumulation and macronutrient uptake by corn. This will be your pointer.
Thank you for the introduction. I'd like to begin by acknowledging my co-authors, Dr. Roberts, Dr. Slayton, Dr. Norman, Dr. Ross, Chester Grube, and Jared Davidson for their contributions to this research. So in Arkansas, there's a growing concern about herbicide-resistant weeds in our row crop systems. So a lot of farmers are becoming more interested in using cover crops as a natural way to suppress weeds in their system. And so one cover crop in particular that a lot of our farmers are using is cereal rye. And it's known for its high biomass production, which makes it very effective at also scavenging residual nutrients like nitrates and reducing erosion. Now, another cover crop that's gaining a lot of attention in Arkansas is the tillage radish. And you might also have heard it referred to as forage radish or daikon radish. But when we're talking about tillage radish, it gets its name from its enlarged taproot that has been shown to penetrate restrictive soil layers and kind of break up the soil. Unfortunately, we're not really seeing this benefit in Arkansas because a lot of our soils are poorly drained and we have a plow pan that kind of inhibits that tillage radish from growing. So we're more interested in looking at tillage radish from its nutrient cycling abilities. So previous research has shown that brassicas, similar to tillage radish, can excrete organic acids and change the rhizosphere pH of the soil to increase the soil phosphorus solubility. Also, a more current study has shown that tillage radish in particular can increase the soil phosphorus concentration in the taproot and immediately surrounding the taproot after tillage radish has decomposed. So I know there's been a lot of work on cover crops in other regions of the United States, but why is Arkansas just now getting on board, and why do we need this research in our state? Well, a lot of the literature has shown that there's mixed effects of cover crops on the uptake of nutrients by the following corn crop. And this is important to consider when we're thinking about nutrient cycling. We have to think about the cover crop's uptake of the nutrients as well as how that's influencing the uptake by the following corn. Also, our farmers are very eager to use cover crops in their system. However, we have very limited current research in Arkansas, so farmers have to turn to studies from the Midwest and Mid-Atlantic regions, and that information is very useful from a basic standpoint for our farmers, but we have different growing conditions and production systems, so we may not see those exact results in our state. Therefore, there's this great need to develop current recommendations for our farmers so we can help them maximize their benefits and minimize their risks. So this leads us to our objective, which was to evaluate the recovery of macronutrients by corn following cereal rye and tillage radish cover crops. This study was conducted at the Vegetable Research Station in Kibble, Arkansas on a Roxana silt loam. And the study was arranged in a randomized complete block design that was blocked by cover crop and replication. And our nitrogen rate treatments were randomized within each cover crop. We had 1.5 by 3 meter microplots, and we replicated each treatment combination 4 times. We had 4 nitrogen rate treatments that we applied to our cover crops, ranging from 0 to 101 kilograms of nitrogen per hectare. And we had 4 cover crop treatments, including tillage radish monoculture, a rye radish mixture, a rye monoculture, and fallow. We seeded our cover crops using a no-till drill in September of 2014 in rows that were spaced 23 centimeters apart. 2 weeks after cover crop planting, we applied N15 enriched urea that was treated with the urease inhibitor NBPT, and this was to decrease the amount of ammonia volatilization loss. We did not apply any phosphorus or potassium to our cover crops. We terminated our cover crops using glyphosate on April 1, 2015, and the pictures on the bottom right show what the cover crops looked like right before termination. Then 4 weeks after cover crop termination, we seeded our corn using that same no-till drill in rows that were spaced 91 centimeters apart. So this gave us 2 rows per plot. We did not apply any fertilizer to our corn because we wanted to look at that direct effect of that nutrient cycling from the cover crops themselves. At the V6 stage, we collected above-ground biomass samples from 91-centimeter sections from both rows and the other half of the plot where we did not take our cover crop samples. So if this box showing our plot, which we divided in half, and just prior to cover crop termination, we took our samples from this half of the plot, and then we took our corn samples at V6 from this half. And we took those corn samples at the V6 stage because that's when we would typically come back with a side dress application of nitrogen. Our corn tissue samples were dried, ground, and analyzed for N15 and total nitrogen using an elemental analyzer and an isotope ratio mass spectrometer. We also analyzed for phosphorus and potassium using nitric acid digestion and ICP. Our data was analyzed using a 4x4 factorial in Jump Pro 12, and significant means were separated using Tukey's HSD and a significance level of 0.05. Looking at our ANOVA table, we have sources including cover crop, nitrogen rate, and the interaction of the two. And then we have our response variables including corn biomass, corn total nitrogen uptake, corn phosphorus uptake, and corn potassium uptake. And you can see by the boxes that are colored in yellow that all of our response variables were significant at the 0.05 level for the main effect of cover crop treatment only. When we sampled our corn biomass at the V6 stage, we saw noticeable differences in the field with regards to our cover crop treatment. So this is the corn that was planted into the fallow, the rye, the mix, and the tillage radish. And we saw that the corn that was planted into our cereal rye residue was much shorter and more yellow than the corn that was planted into our tillage radish. We also noticed that being a no-till system that we planted this into, we saw that there was a lot of standing rye residue on the soil, whereas a lot of the tillage radish residue had already decomposed by this stage. And what we observed in the field was reflected in our data. All of my graphs will be set up the same, with on the x-axis is our cover crop treatment, with the fallow, rye, mix, and radish, just as it was laid out in the field. And on the y-axis is our response variable of interest. In this case, it's the mean biomass accumulation of the corn at V6. And the means that have different uppercase letters are going to be significantly different at the 0.05 level. And from this graph, we see that corn following radish accumulated the most biomass, and corn following rye accumulated the least. And we saw no significant increase or advantage of mixing those cover crops over the fallow. When we looked at total nitrogen uptake by corn, we saw a very similar trend, with the most total nitrogen uptake in corn occurring after tillage radish and the least occurring after cereal rye. And here we see only a slight advantage of mixing those cover crops over the fallow. Now we also wanted to compare the uptake of corn to that was taken up by the cover crops. So in the white letters, we have here a percentage, and this indicates the percent of cover crop uptake of our nutrients that was recovered by our corn. So this is kind of giving us an idea of how much those nutrients are being recycled. And we can see here that the different lowercase letters signify that those means are different at the 0.05 level. We saw in regards to the corn planted in the tillage radish, it recovered about 51% of the uptake that the radish took up, whereas corn following rye took up only about 2%. So this means that the radish is recycling that nitrogen more than the rye. I'd also like to point out that when we analyzed our cover crops for their nutrient uptake, we saw that rye took up about 4 times of the total nitrogen that the tillage radish took up. However, it's not recycling that nitrogen back to the corn. So to look at this further, we looked at the C-to-N ratio of the cover crops themselves. And we saw that the C-to-N ratio of the rye was about 24.2, which is a little low than some people expect. But that low number is due to the fact that we sampled those cover crops prior to termination, which occurred before the rye reached its reproductive stage. So we concluded that the turnover of nitrogen was more likely due to the management of the residue, so that rye wasn't able to decompose as readily as the tillage radish was. Looking at our phosphorus uptake at the V6 stage by our corn, again we see that the phosphorus uptake by our corn was highest following the tillage radish and lowest following cereal rye. And we didn't see any significant benefit from mixing those cover crops. When we compared our corn recovery to that of the cover crops, we saw that corn following tillage radish recovered 57% of what the radish took up, whereas corn following rye took up only about 3% of what the corn of what the rye took up. Looking at potassium, again, we see a very similar trend. We see that the potassium uptake at V6 was highest following tillage radish and lowest following cereal rye. We saw something very interesting when we compared the corn uptake to that of the cover crop. For corn following radish, we saw that it took up about 2.5 times of what the radish took up. And this could be due to greater growth of that corn following the radish. And also the radish likely concentrated what potassium was leached out in that root zone for the corn to take up. Whereas in the rye, most of the potassium was likely still in the cover crop residue and hadn't been leached out for that corn to use. So to summarize the results from our study, the corn biomass, total nitrogen uptake, phosphorus, and potassium uptake at the V6 stage was highest following tillage radish compared to any other treatment. It was also lowest following cereal rye. And again, we think this is due to how we manage the residue. So again, it was no-till system, and that cereal rye residue did not decompose as quickly as the tillage radish residue. So this has some implications, including that radish will recycle those nutrients quicker or earlier in the growing season, whereas it might take longer, like another growing season, for that cereal rye to break down and release those nutrients. However, we might have some extended erosion control and weed suppression from our cereal rye because that residue doesn't decompose as quickly. And this also pointed us into a direction for some future research, including at looking how cover crops affect yield of corn and other crops in Arkansas. We also want to look at how fast those residue decompose and mineralize those nutrients throughout the growing season. We're also implementing a cover crop survey to give to our farmers to see how many of them would like to use cover crops and kind of the overall perceptions that they have of cover crops. And maybe that'll give us an idea of what we can research better to look at for cover crops. So I'd like to acknowledge my advisor, Dr. Roberts, and my co-authors for all their contributions to this study. I'd also like to thank the employees and the graduate students of the NSAR Soil Testing Lab, and as well as the Arkansas Soybean Promotion Board and the Arkansas Corn and Grain Sorghum Board for funding this project. Are there any questions?
We do have time for some questions.
Yes.
How was the winter fallow treatment managed?
So the question was, how was the winter fallow treatment managed? And it was managed the same as our cover crops. So we applied the nitrogen to the fallow when we applied it to the cover crops. But we did not spray any herbicides to kill any weeds, so we just let any natural vegetation grow. And in the second year of the study, we actually saw that there was a lot of winter weeds that grew, so we actually sampled those when we sampled our cover crops. So I haven't analyzed that data, but I'm interested to see how much those winter weeds actually took up.
Was there any Italian ryegrass in that mix?
In our cover crop mix? We did not see any Italian ryegrass. Yes? So the question was, we can compare the biomass accumulation between the rye and the radish. And we did. And that was part of the study, but I didn't have time to include the data. But the rye biomass was much greater than that of the tillage radish. And that was probably due to we had a more wet and cooler winter, and so the rye was able to accumulate more biomass, and most of that growth from the tillage radish occurs in the fall. So we actually had winter kill of our tillage radish right before termination.
Let's thank our speaker.